You are now listening to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. We've got Josh Shores and Peter Raber. Brian is under the weather.
He is. I hate that. Star Wars and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, he was here yesterday, and I think he's battling some gnarly congestion.
He wouldn't have sounded good on the podcast.
No. Well, he sounded terrible yesterday. But In my best efforts, I did give him the last of my Mucinex in my secret medicine drawer in here.
Oh, so I'm gonna have to raid that.
Yeah, well, it's bare.
It's bare now.
It's bare now. Yeah, it's bare because I take any and everything this time of year because I can't breathe. My throat's itchy. My eyes are itchy.
I don't know where we're at on that weird calendar of what East Tennessee goes through, but yeah, the pollen count is high. Everything's rough. It's super cold in the morning and warm in the afternoons, and yeah.
Well, quick shout out to my super talented son, Nolan, recorded our intro and outro.
Isn't that great? I love getting, you know, kids involved in stuff like this.
He was so excited.
I bet he was.
Talked about it, like, we've been talking about this for, you know, a while now, but there's never been a day to, you know, come in and do it. And we had talked about coming up on like a weekend, like a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon. But, you know, he was out of school last week for Election Day locally in Greenville, and so we did a little job shadowing.
That's great.
We just came in, and he recorded it, did it like a champ. We were done in no time. And
one take?
No.
No.
But it wasn't as many as you would think, but it was really neat to do that with him because it gave me an opportunity to see some of his mannerisms, like perfectionism and,
right,
like, oh, that was awful, let's do it again, or that sounds really bad, can we do it again? So it's just cool to know that, you know, to see kids have attention to detail to things like that.
Must be nice. My kids would be like, yeah, that's good enough. And you're like, buddy, you said the wrong name.
You literally said the wrong person.
Yep.
Well, we had talked about, you know, trying to get some of the kids in here.
Oh, yeah. I think they'd be fabulous.
To do an episode, kind of a Q&A type thing. And I think that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
It's so hard scheduling, you know, with kids. And, of course, you know, your kids are involved in everything under the sun right now. So
yeah,
you're always on the go.
Always something. Baseball season, full go. Henry's going to D.C. next week for the entire week with school.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's thrilled about that. That's going to be his first big trip away from home.
Mm.
So we'll see how that goes. He's done an overnighter,
right,
you know, type thing for school. But this is – I have to be at the school at 5:30 Monday morning. And they're heading up to D.C.
We took a trip to D.C. Yeah. I can't remember – I was in school. I think it was middle school, maybe.
Yep.
We took a trip to D.C. That was a fun trip.
Those things are great. It exposes them to so much.
Yeah.
Gets them out of our little bubble here in East Tennessee and lets them see the rest of the world.
Pretty eye-opening.
Yeah. We're so fortunate here.
Well, I would be remorse if I didn't mention that it's Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
And it feels like just yesterday we were doing a podcast talking about Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, we threw out all those facts about how much you know, alcohol is consumed, and you know, we're over a year now into these things, and so that's mind-blowing to me.
I remember one thing from that, though. We talked about the reasoning behind Cinco de Mayo. We were talking about how the Mexican army, who were like severe underdogs with the British forces, defeated them, and I think it was the Battle of Puebla in 1862, I believe. So, and then we joked about how Americans will just kind of celebrate anything. because there's no real definite chain that leads back to this being a like a Mexican or a Spanish holiday of any sorts.
No, none at all.
it's always kind of bizarre. So I hope everyone has a good time with that. Do you have any plans?
We are actually going with some friends to a Mexican restaurant tonight. Aww. We're going to be there early. They've got a spot that they love, and we're going along. We occasionally will go there. I was talking to a group earlier today for Northeast State, and today's also Revenge of the 5th, yesterday being May the 4th.
And yeah, I was going to get to that, even though I'm a hater. I was going to acknowledge it.
I'm hoping somebody puts them together, and I get like a blue milk margarita somewhere, and we'll throw them both together.
So for those who don't know, which most do, but I am completely ignorant about Star Wars. Completely ignorant. So, and it's funny because speaking of my son being here, we went over and talked to Brian the other day while Nolan was here, and they started talking about the Mandalorian.
Yep.
And they were engaging in conversation that I didn't even understand.
They could have been talking about high-level engineering.
I don't get it, and I can't get into it. I've tried. I do like to poke fun, but I'm not going to do that as much anymore.
Now that your son's in here.
Yeah, now, so I don't know what to do at this point. I don't know if I try to just force myself to get into it, or if it's just it is what it is, and everybody just goes about their way.
You know, it's like me with cars. I have no idea when people start talking about cars. You know, and there's just some subjects that aren't your thing, and you nod your head and go along and say, hey, I get that reference. Yeah.
Have you checked your turn signal fluid?
No turn signal fluid. I do need to put windshield wiper fluid in.
Oh.
I've got an appointment. I've got what seems like the 8,000th recall on my car that's got to go in next week, but... I'm losing some tire pressure on my right rear tire. Doesn't matter how much I put in there. So there's a leak somewhere. But it's enough that it's drivable. So
Yeah. Those recalls. Isn't that enough to like weird you out? Like if it's over and over and over, you're kind of thinking, is my car just going to fall apart while I'm driving it?
Yeah. Well, and I understand what they have to do. They have to tell you what the risks are. Kate's van had a recall where they were like, well, if your car has this issue with it, your sliding door could come open at any time. So we recommend you not drive it, but we don't have a fix for this yet. And you're sitting there going, I'd rather not know, I guess. But
if you're doing like 80 down the interstate.
And your door comes open, yeah.
So I guess hers is probably electric, right?
The door? Hers is hybrid, yeah. The door is electric. So if it shorts in some particular way.
Could you even manually shut it?
You know, you can manually shut it. But even now, like, it's a fight to pull against that mechanism.
Also, I'm sorry I'm asking you car questions when you literally just told me you didn't.
Hey, I'm really good about knowing that I don't know, and I go, that's wrong. I don't know what about it, but it's wrong. So, yeah.
Well, but you know so many other things.
Well, we try.
Yeah. Well, it's worth mentioning, too, that we had our hard hat tours.
Those were great.
For the new building. Yeah, it was really good. We had a good turnout. We did two groups. And it was a lot of fun, and people seemed genuinely interested.
That's always my fear with things like that is you're going to invite people to these things, and you know me, I can talk and fill space, but wondering whether or not people would care, be interested in it. And I thought we got some great questions. I got at least a couple suggestions of, hey, have you looked into that yet before you get too far down the road? And it was a lot of fun.
So we're about a month and a half out.
Yeah.
Hopefully, fingers crossed, two months maybe. We are so ready to be in that building.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we've got a few things, and I'd be interested, so people send in your thoughts. The building's going to be done, and we may have some issues with furniture that we want to get or little things that would not prevent us from working over there, but it's not going to be as, I guess, perfect as we want it to be on day one. Would people rather be over there or visiting us over there, but we're missing a couch in a space or we're missing a table where it should be? or would they rather us wait and reveal, I guess? Either way, we'll probably do the ribbon cutting once it's all fancy.
Yeah, I say do the grand hoo-ha once it's all fancy. But as far as meetings go, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Let's get over there. I don't care.
As soon as possible.
If, like, we can find chairs for people, as long as people have, you know, their basic accommodations, I think it'll be just fine. But it would be neat to, you know, maybe do another phase of that. I mean, we have the hard hats, right, already.
Right.
So
yeah. I don't think anybody stole any, so we're good.
No. I did give one to Brian, but luckily he's, you know, right down the hall, so we can retrieve it back if we need to.
I think next week they do the final inspections before drywall goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're working on the windows today, which will go through the part of next week. But once the drywall goes up, you know, you start to really move quickly.
Right. We had a listener question.
Oh, awesome.
I think this is one of the coolest things about podcasting, and also just even kind of being in the social space in general, is because you get to hear from and interact with people all across the country that you probably normally wouldn't brush shoulders with or be able to communicate with, you know, in your day-to-day. So I'm going to read this email from our good friend Chris. Chris is our Huskers fan.
Yep.
Which we had a problem with in the beginning, but he's turned out to be pretty cool. So it's growing on me.
It's growing.
He's growing on me. I don't know about the Huskers thing, but he's growing on me.
Well, Tennessee's supposed to play Nebraska here in the next couple of years, and we're going to get together for that.
Oh, really?
I think that's the hope. You know, who knows? But they delayed it. You know, it was going to be, I think, 2022.
Uh-huh.
And then with everything, they shoved it. It's 26 or 28.
Are they trying to play in Knoxville or is it
a
neutral?
Yeah, it's a home and away.
Oh.
Now, they may push it again, but.
Yeah. Well, sucks for them because we're really good.
We're finally on the way back up.
I can say that and not feel, like I'm going to get slammed for it. So here is here's Chris's question, and it's actually a good one, and it's perfect that this kind of got tabled for a week or two or maybe even three, because we were going to talk about some of the banks that are just, you know, collapsing
right
before our eyes. But from Chris, he says, "Hey, y'all, it's your old friend Chris from Lincoln, Nebraska again. Got a quick question for you. I understand that the FDIC insures individual deposits and accounts up to $250,000. With the recent headlines of the three banks failing, most notably the SVB, what does that mean for customers who have more than that in a single account? And what are the best banking options?" So he asked, you know, is it better to have multiple accounts tied together, maybe investing money rather than banking it? He says, "I understand the need for liquid cash in startups or high growth companies, but shouldn't they have been better prepared? As always, love the pod. Go Huskers."
Thanks, Chris.
That's good.
That's what people are thinking about
now. So Silicon Valley Bank
has gone under.
Which we talked about a few weeks back because that was a big deal.
Right.
And we've got a couple other banks.
Right. So Silicon Valley and Signature went under about the same time. And then recently, last week, First Republic was sold to J.P. Morgan. It functionally went under, but they arranged a sale to J.P. Morgan.
Now, does that keep them operational?
And for Signature and for Silicon Valley, they're operational still.
Okay.
They just have new names.
Mm.
And so what has happened is that when the FDIC steps in, they come in and say, okay, we're closing the doors on Monday. We're going to backstop up to certain amounts. And then when we open up for business, depositors can come in and it's like nothing happened. So you were a First Republic customer on, you know, Tuesday of last week. You're a J.P. Morgan customer this week. Nothing happens. What they've done in addition this time, and Chris is right, that the rule is up to $250,000 per name in the bank.
Right.
So it doesn't matter how many accounts you have. It's the aggregate of that. So if you have a $50,000 CD, a $200,000 checking account, and then a $50,000 IRA through the bank, you're over the limit. Mm-hmm. Now, once you have a spouse on, you know, some of these accounts, you go from 250 to 500. If you add children, you get another 250. You get a 250 for each Social Security number on there. So if you add a transfer on death, it adds 250. So that's one little kind of trick to boost your amount there. And we saw a lot more of that like in 2008. Mm-hmm. Like dad put me on some checking accounts as a transfer on death purely to get a $250,000 boost in protection. But what the FDIC did this time is they came in and said all depositors, regardless of the amount, are backstopped. And they basically did that to prevent contagion and prevent this spreading and going out. But what's made like First Republic different and from Signature Valley is Signature Valley Bank, I think it was 70% of their deposits were uninsured.
Oh, wow.
So
it's a big chunk.
It's a big chunk. First Republic was less than that. And then the one that's in the news this week is PacWest. And so Pacific West, but 70% of their deposits are under the threshold. So if you're a Pacific West, you know, customer and you're under the threshold, functionally, you don't need to do anything else.
Right.
There's no guarantee that the federal government each time will backstop you for above 250. But a bank's not going to turn down those deposits. So as a small business or as in Silicon Valley Bank, you know, these tech startups, they were holding too much cash in one bank. But by holding those assets there, they got better deals on loans. They got better, you know, service, all this, that, and the other. So you could make an argument that 250 for certain businesses is way too low of a number.
That's kind of what I was thinking. For a business.
For a business. And especially if you have recurring payroll and inventory to pay and everything else, you might need well more than that. So that's why a lot of these businesses hold more than 250 in cash. And a lot of it has to do with like revenue cycles. So our business is actually a really good example of this. We bill 4 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're constantly getting this increase in cash deposits that we have to figure out what to do with, but then we spend it over the course of a quarter. Then we get a big, you know, jump back up and spend it over the course of a quarter. So things like that can really affect how much cash you have in the bank. So it's good to be aware of it, and especially for these customers who have been combined. So let's say you were a First Republic person and you had $200,000 in your account, but you also had $200,000 in JP Morgan already. Well, now you're over the limit because they've combined those two banks. But functionally, what has happened, even though the Dodd-Frank rules were supposed to come in and we were supposed to get all this protection after the 08 financial crisis, 70% of all deposits in the United States are held in banks that are considered too big to fail. So that money is not insured in all cases, but the government's not going to not let it, you know. Because if these positions, and you can make the argument, yeah, let those people, they knew the rules.
Yeah.
But we've never been really good at taking our medicine in this country, so we just kicked the can down the road. In the case of First Republic, JP Morgan, I think the FDIC is on the hook for about $13 billion that they're going to backstop, which functionally means, you know, and the FDIC, the way that works is all these banks pay the FDIC. And as an insurance policy. But functionally what's going to happen is now we're going to get higher fees from all the banks because the FDIC is going to say, okay, well, we need more fees to cover what we're insuring.
That was going to be my question because someone's got to cover that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? It's not like any of this stuff just disappears. So someone's going to be paying for that.
Right.
So it does make sense that it's more of like a trickle-down effect that the end user is going to be the one making up some of that balance.
Right. So we're not, you know, when we say a lot of times the taxpayer pays for that,
yeah,
we're not going to pay it through income tax or anything sales tax related or something like that. But if your interest rate is instead of a 4, it's a 4.01 or 4.1, and you don't have a reason why. You know, they're having to make up fees so that they can pay. They have a more expensive, you know, product that they have to account for. So it is going to get down. It will take a while. It will lag, but it is coming. You know, that some of the banking fees are going to go up. But in the end, I think the takeaway from this whole situation has been that most bank customers are going to be fine regardless of where they're at. There could be a few that are outsized, but the Federal Reserve and the FDIC clearly do not want to allow depositors to be affected by bad management on these banks' part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what, you know, we're looking at. So if you look at any of these banks, when interest rates were really low, they were like, yeah, I'll take a 30-year treasury bond at 2%. You know, and now that's worth half of what it was worth, and so they don't have the assets to backstop their deposits.
Yeah. It kind of leaves you in a space of how did we get here?
Right.
Type deal, which we discussed more in depth a few weeks ago, of kind of what led to this, how we got here. But is it as cut and dry as bad management?
I think it's as cut and dry as bad management, but also our system set up this way. So let's say you're a bank CEO or whoever it is, right? You're judged on your quarterly results. And so when people give you a bunch of money, and you have to hang on to a certain portion, but the rest you have to invest, the prudent thing would be to spread that over a number of different time frames, a number of different interest rates, but that's not going to optimize your earnings. And then so investors come in and say, well, you should be earning more than that because interest rates, you could be going and getting a 2%, 30. Why are you getting, you know, 0.5?
Mm-hmm.
You're giving up to the competition all this money. And so there's a pressure on these banks to earn as much as possible. And some of them got caught, basically, in the perfect storm of interest rates rising faster than they ever have in history, the tech sector having a collapse, so they needed more money. And it just spiraled on some of these people. So it's risk management.
Yeah.
And kind of to pair risk management with what Chris was asking is, in a perfect world, yeah, you would only have $250,000 in any one bank. And so if you're a business owner, that makes a lot of sense. Linking it to an investment account where you go and put $250,000 in CDs elsewhere, you know, but you have to manage your cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's extra work. And a lot of people, that's burdensome. And, you know, my business is being a dentist or my business is being a veterinarian. And not managing all this stuff. I want my money in one place so that I can always access it. It's hard, but best practices would be to keep yourself under that 250 limit. But in reality, most small businesses, you know, are constantly playing with that limit.
Right.
Because they're going to have a moment. So, like, let's say 3 months out of the year, you're over the limit. Do you really want to go open a bank account for another bank for those 3 months? But you're going to need every bit of that money the rest. And then they're like, oh, well, your low balance account has these fees on it, you know, that type of stuff. So it's understandable why it happens, but that's kind of the way we would mitigate it.
Obviously, this is something that has a lot of layers and could be talked about extensively, but I do want to say to Chris, thank you for the question. We get a lot of questions, so I hope that people, you know, send in things that they're curious about, maybe that they're unsure of.
Right.
And that's kind of what we're here for. We want to be an extension to people. And we did that, I believe, 2 weeks ago when we had Ryan Kelly join us talking about scholarships.
Right. It's generated a lot of interest.
Oh, my goodness. I've talked to so many people who have followed up with us about, you know, her, what she does, her contact information, like, hey, I need to get a hold of this lady.
Yeah.
But it was really neat to have her on and hear her perspective on how to apply for scholarships, how to, you know, get through college debt free. So I'm bringing that up again now because I do think that there's enough interest generated that we want to maybe revisit that again sometime later down the road. But I wanted to ask people, you know, if you have questions from that episode
for her,
for her, by all means, send them in. Email us at connect@afiadvisors.com, or, you know, you can call us, you can text, whatever's easiest for you, but we want to be able to bridge that gap and get information to the people who need the information, because I think it's pretty widespread that not everyone is clued in to some of these nifty things that she brings up and brings to the table.
Absolutely.
Also, I think it's important to know that even if your child's younger, right?
Yeah.
In middle school, whatever, they don't have to be a junior or a senior in high school to start applying for scholarships.
Right. And I think one of the things that she said that I've heard a lot of feedback on is, man, if I had spent 30 minutes a week for a while, mm-hmm. you know, that would have made such a big difference. Well, it's a lot easier to do that as an eighth grader, ninth grader, getting into that habit, making it fun. I think those are all things that will do well, you know, for people. And so send the questions in. I think my hope is the next time that we're able to talk to her, we'll be able to get into that nitty gritty of, hey, I've called her. What do I expect now? How does this whole process work?
Right.
You know, and where do we go? Because we know that the possibilities are out there. Now we just have to know how we need to execute.
Yeah, it's the next step.
Yep.
Which is ideally what we're wanting to do. So
I've thought about doing it for Henry, just
right.
purely out of curiosity. Not that necessarily, you know, that's the biggest concern, because hopefully, you know, with everything he's into, he'll get some level of scholarship yeah. for something. But yeah, just to go through that process with her.
You know, we were talking about this earlier today, and I feel like the price of tuition is just getting, it's out of control at this point. I just, from a logical standpoint, if you're sitting down and you're weighing out the pros and the cons, I feel like there's a lot more cons from a financial standpoint now than there might have been 15, 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
I've never known tuition to go down. I've only known tuition to get raised every year. Now, I could be wrong about that. I'm sure there's sometimes it does, but is there a ceiling anywhere in the near future of, I mean, because I think people can't afford to go to school anymore.
And I know think that's the ceiling is yeah. when does it become, and I think we're already actually well past this. And I think yeah. that's why you're seeing so much frustration out of the younger generation about the cost of college, is that they're coming out and realizing that there's not a job that will pay for that. And they've got a mortgage before they own a house, you know, for this college education. And I think we're getting there, but there's not a end in sight to this number going up, other than at some point supply and demand will drive it to say, oh, well, we're not getting anywhere near the number of applicants that we used to get. And so we're going to have to drop price to entice them to, mm-hmm. to come. Because right now, if you go and spend, let's say $200,000 on a college education, and then you're in a profession that pays you $45,000 a year, that's tight.
Yeah.
And it's going to take you forever to pay it off. It's no longer worth it, especially if you could get like a $42,000 a year job with no debt from right. not going to college. So I think that's where we're at.
Well, and you even think too, it can get even deeper if you throw in the fact of, you know, like graduate degrees. It's a snowball effect. And even though those types of degrees will maybe, you know, kind of give you an extra boost from a career standpoint and from an income standpoint, there's still a lot of debt there. It's even more
huge
debt. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just really overwhelmed with all that stuff right now. I guess it's because I have, a young child who's looking toward the future, and I don't know what that's going to look like in the next, you know, 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, if you take 6% a year for the next 7 years,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Well, we just need ChatGPT to
yep.
come in and pretty much take over the world, because it sounds like that's what everybody's thinking it's going to do. We talked about that this morning at a breakfast. Andrea with Cosby over here, downtown Kingsport, was talking about how they're sharing information with the small and local businesses about ChatGPT and some of the benefits of that. And you and I were talking about it, and I was like, we probably should share some of this information.
Yeah. I think so. And, you know, we probably need to do a full episode on it, but I was watching something the other day, and it was kind of this glimpse into the future of what things would look like. And, you know, there was a prediction in it of the first one-person company to IPO, you know, based upon all this AI stuff, being in 2028 was the projection.
It's really close.
Yeah, it's really close. So it's close. The problem is it's exponential growth. So it's going to get here sooner than maybe some people are thinking about.
Yeah. That's really scary.
Yeah.
But,
you know, we're going to have to adapt as a society. And hopefully it opens up new areas. And hopefully the, you know, AI overlords don't kick us out. But, you know, it's...
That's almost one of those that I could see as being crippling. Like, it could end up crippling a lot of industries.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of the job and the workforce with folks. So I don't even know how to really wrap my head around that right now.
Well,
and I'm not trying to be, you know, like the doomsday, like the world's ending. But this is something that has some significant promise to make a big impact.
Yeah.
And it could be a big impact in a great way for a few people, and a big impact in a terrible way for a lot of people.
And I think what's why we need to be so focused on it is the speed. Mm-hmm. So we've always had new technology putting things out of business. We've never had something that had this capability to make people irrelevant immediately. You know, so you think about like the horse and buggy. Now we have cars. We don't have, you know, the people making wagon wheels and doing all this and the other. But that took a long time to spread across the country and do everything else.
It was like a slow burn with that one. That was a really large scale.
You know, one of my mom's jobs when she was young was she was one of those people that you would see in movies, telephone operator, where unplug in one and plug back in another. That doesn't exist anymore. So there's always this nature of just creative destruction. We destroy certain jobs and the new technology enables new ones. But the problem that we might run into is the new technology doesn't need workers in a different area. It just doesn't need workers.
Period.
Period. And so we're going to have to figure that out. But we have to be very aware of, you know, and I think another thing that we're going to have to figure out is where do we find truth? So they already did this. There's a... And like I said, we need to do a full episode on it, but this is something I was watching the other day. There's AIs that create pictures, right? And I think it was Midjourney. They had to roll back and put in controls because the images they were generating were so realistic that you couldn't tell that they were fake.
Mm.
And so, and it can be used for either one. And the example that they gave was like there was a picture of President Trump being led away in handcuffs.
Yeah.
Which hadn't happened.
Right.
And then there was a picture on the other side. It was like somebody giving money to one of the liberal Supreme Court justices. And so these things are going to pop up in people's feed. And we know how people are. Oh, I saw it on Facebook. Share. And then, you know, how do we stop misinformation when it's so real in front of us? And so they actually had to put in some controls, but, you know, the nature of these things, people will find ways around the controls. So we're going to have to be very, very aware of it.
Yeah, and that's a whole nother side
of
what we're talking about. It's equally as scary.
Yeah.
But just from a different angle.
Right.
Hey, if you guys want to see a little bit of our new building and the hard hat tours, there is a video slideshow that's on YouTube that we posted, so go check that out, and also check us out on all of our social media channels and go to AFIadvisors.com just to see what we've got going on. I'd also want to let people know from the homepage you can opt in to be on our email list, and we send out a lot of information via email, updates, weekly things, podcast information, current client events, things of that nature. So opt in there and let us be able to get that information into your hands. But other than that, I hope everyone has a great day. Peter, thank you.
Always.
And we'll do this again next week.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.